Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Air Force One will touch down in Stansted Airport this evening, kicking off US President Donald Trump's unprecedented second state visit to the UK. It'll be a mix of pomp and politics. Tomorrow he heads to Windsor Castle, where he'll receive the full royal welcome, complete with banquet. And the visit couldn't come at a worse time for Prime Minister Keir Starmer, with the Peter Mandelson sacking saga as UK ambassador to the United States still very much front and centre. Well, for more on this, I'm joined first by Adam Bolton, broadcaster and political journalist. Hello, Adam.
Hello.
Thank you so much. 6 years on from Donald Trump's last big visit to the UK, a full state visit with all the trimmings, as I said. But given everything that's happening politically there, is the mood around this on a bit of a knife edge, would you say?
Well, I think there's always a certain level of apprehension because no one ever quite knows what Donald Trump will say. He's coming here. He's going to arrive about 9 p.m. But of course, he will talk to the press on the way, the American press on the way over. And there's going to be a news conference on Thursday at the end of his visit. I think from the point of view of the government, they hope that this will bolster Keir Starmer's appearance as an international statesman, although, of course, they know that in the interactions with the press, there are bound to be questions about Peter Mandelson. And, of course, things have changed since the invitation was given by Keir Starmer in the Oval Office. Back then, less than a year ago, he had just won a very big parliamentary victory in the general election. And as Donald Trump said, he looked like a winner. Things have not gone that well for the Labour government and Keir Starmer since then. So I think one of the questions is whether the president, who's not above such things, will decide to press on the bruise.
I mean, the whole point of this invitation was to give Donald Trump what he wants, make him happy, make him feel good, give him the big TV moment. What he's going to get now, it's likely, are questions about Jeffrey Epstein.
Well, yes, but that would be limited because this is an odd state visit in as much as it'll basically take place behind closed doors, that the president will arrive on his plane. He'll then be taken on his helicopter, Marine One, to Windsor Castle. That will be closed events at Windsor Castle, including driving a carriage around the parkland. The public won't be there, although there will be protesters at the gate, and there's likely to be a big march in London. He's not going to see any of that directly, although he may see that on television. And then the next day, he's being taken to the Prime Minister's country residence of Chequers. And again, it's going to be a limited press pool who are allowed in there to question him. So although on television, we'll get the pictures of the flypast by the RAF and the household cavalry and their horses and a parade. As far as interaction with the public, I think this will probably be the most private state visit ever.
It's really interesting then to hear how it's being managed. So you'll have this big protest planned in London, but Donald Trump will be insulated from it.
Absolutely. And of course, they cleverly chose a time for this visit when Parliament is in recess. So the issue, which often happens on a state visit, of the President addressing both houses of Parliament doesn't arise because they're in recess. And I think it's absolutely clear that there would have been major protests if he had come while Parliament was sitting, if he had attempted to have a address of both Houses of Parliament. Almost certainly MPs would have resisted that.
And then the press conference, you said that it will be a limited pool. I mean, British journalists aren't known to be shy about asking difficult questions. I mean, surely they're not going to be hand-picked in the way that they select the journalists to question Donald Trump in the Oval Office these days.
No, I don't think so. Although it has to be said, priority tends to be given to the political editors of the main broadcasters, BBC, ITV and Sky, and then from some of the major newspapers. I mean, I'm not suggesting in any sense that the British press will go easy, but, you know, I do know from my own experience that, pressures are sometimes put on journalists as to what they're going to ask and how they're going to ask it. And certainly, I think what we're going to get is attempts by the British government and quite possibly the Americans as well to steer things on to trade some major tech deals that they hope are being done. There's already been an announcement on small nuclear reactors, American investment in that. This is how the government wants to present this. What they want to say is, you know, without admitting it, yes, we are sucking up to Donald Trump, even though we might like him very much, but we have got something out of it, which is reaffirming the special relationship, keeping him engaged with NATO, and above all, the UK getting slightly lower tariffs from Donald Trump than most other countries, with a baseline of 10%, although there are concerns about steel and electricity. That's what they're going to try and say, that, you know, whatever you think about this, this is business at heads of government level, and it's a constructive thing to do. That's the message. But, you know, look at the opinion polls, and Donald Trump is fantastically unpopular in this country.
And Peter Mandelson was considered a risk worth taking for Keir Starmer, despite what he may have known about him and his connections to Jeffrey Epstein, because he was going to be useful in Washington. And he was. He fostered a good relationship with Donald Trump. Do you expect that Donald Trump will voice his dissatisfaction at his sacking, or would he prefer to avoid the whole subject?
One has no idea how Donald Trump's going to react. I mean, he might well say, "I like that Peter Mandelson fellow." At the same time, as is being pointed out, he himself, of course, had a long association with Jeffrey Epstein. And indeed, the incriminating evidence of emails and messages in the birthday book, which Peter Mandelson sent, revealing his closeness to Epstein, have only come about because in America of the drive to find out quite what the nature of Donald Trump's relationship with Epstein was. So in that sense, Peter Mandelson is collateral damage of that fight over the Epstein files going on in the US. So I think Donald Trump may feel it's in his best interest to rise above it.
All right, well, we wait and see. Thank you so much, Adam, for being with us. Adam Bolton there, broadcaster and political journalist. I'm also joined on the line by Lydia Starbuck, who's associate editor for Royal Central. And Lydia, we want to get a sense of the pageantry now around this visit, because when we say it's unprecedented, I mean, if a head of state is being invited for a second time to meet the royals, it's generally for a bit of afternoon tea. They don't get what Donald Trump is getting, right?
No, that's absolutely correct, Claire. An elected politician, an elected head of state, never gets a second state visit. So Donald Trump got a state visit to the UK in 2019 at Buckingham Palace, hosted by Queen Elizabeth II. And then almost as soon as he was in through the White House for his second term, that famous letter was handed over by Sir Keir Starmer, asking him over for a second state visit. One of the reasons being suggested for what is an historic event is that Donald Trump is serving non-consecutive terms. So he got elected, he got booted out, he got elected again. So that's kind of opened the door to this second state visit. But if that's the reason being given, the state visit that's being laid on is historic because it's state visit ultra. I mean, there's pomp, there's ceremony, there's pageantry, and then there is what we're going to see, particularly tomorrow. The first day of this state visit is filled with all the usual and then a lot more.
Take us through it then. What's going to happen? They arrive tonight, Adam told us, 9 o'clock, but then they get the night off. So tomorrow morning is when kicks off.
It is. So you always have an official welcome at the beginning of a state visit. And ahead of that, you send someone else lower down the pecking order to go and pick up your guests. So the Prince and Princess of Wales, William and Kate, will meet Donald and Melania Trump somewhere on the Windsor Estate and escort them to another part of the Windsor Estate where the official welcome begins. And that's where we'll see King Charles and Queen Camilla and the Prime Minister and a whole range of politicians. And there will be the Cavalry Mounted Regiment. There will be the national anthems played, and then we're going to get this carriage procession. Now, bear in mind that last time Donald Trump was here, he didn't get a carriage procession. He helicoptered into Buckingham Palace, apparently annoyed Queen Elizabeth II by damaging her grass, and then everything took place within the palace grounds. This time, he'll get the carriage procession, so the landaus will be brought out, and he will ride through the Windsor Estate, and he'll get the picture he wants. He'll sweep past the famous White Tower of Windsor Castle, the oldest part of Windsor Castle, with King Charles at his side. The national anthems will be played again. And then once he's inside the quadrangle of Windsor Castle, he will get all three state colours, the beautiful embroidered flags that belong to the Grenadier Guards, the Coldstream Guards and the Scots Guards. All three of those are coming out. Usually a head of state gets one, but Donald is getting the full works. And then he will go and inspect the Guard of Honour with the King. He very famously lost Queen Elizabeth II when he inspected a smaller Guard of Honour with her at Windsor when he made a kind of semi-official visit, that famous photograph of him walking off and her kind of peeking around the side of him. But he seems to have got the hang of it now. So he'll inspect a Guard of Honour, then they'll go inside, there's lunch with the whole royal family, and then he gets a special exhibition laid on for him. They the librarian and the head archivists have gone through the royal collection and they found significant items that link Britain and the US. All of that will be laid on in a private display for him, and then he will get a very special honour indeed, because he's been invited to make a private visit to the tomb of Queen Elizabeth II in St George's Chapel. So he will go there tomorrow afternoon and lay flowers on her grave and be given a chance to pay his own private respects to Elizabeth II. And then we get another unprecedented moment for a state visit, because he gets a beating the retreat ceremony and he's getting a fly past by the Red Arrows. We don't usually see that. I mean, the whole works are being laid on, and that's before we get to the big set piece that everyone remembers, the state banquet.
Okay, so that's happening in the evening time, obviously. But everything you've described there, and Adam touched on this as well, it's all happening inside Windsor Castle, inside the gates of the premises rather than outside. That's a security measure, isn't it? Because Emmanuel Macron was taken through the streets of Windsor. That's not the case with Donald Trump.
That's right. So when Emmanuel Macron was here in July for his state visit, the carriage procession did go through the streets of Windsor. Now, Windsor's a relatively small town. It's not a massive city. The streets are quite narrow, quite small. So it does present security risks. When Donald Trump visited in 2019, again, there were security risks. No one wanted a carriage procession through London. So this is kind of it's kind of a halfway house, really. He's getting the carriage procession, but basically he's waving to himself. He'll be going along in the head carriage with King Charles. Melania will be in the second carriage with Queen Camilla. William and Kate will likely be in another carriage. And it's going to be a fabulous photo opportunity, but there will be no other humans to see it other than the security around him. Windsor Castle's become the seat of state visits in the last year because Buckingham Palace is undergoing massive renovation work. So many of the parts they would use for state visits aren't available. But Windsor does offer much easier security in that regard.
So, Lydia, that's tomorrow. Then you mentioned the banquet, and there will be real humans there, up to 200 people, around 160.
About 160, yes. So you'll get diplomats and you'll get people from both sides and kind of the different embassies. Buckingham Palace also tends to invite, cultural icons, people that, the rest of us would know. So we'll be looking at the guest list with great interest to see, where that favour has fallen. And then kind of all eyes will turn to the ladies of the royal family, because this is where you get the tiaras. And given everything else that's being laid on for Donald Trump, we're expecting some spectacular jewels. I mean, I think if Queen Camilla could wear all the tiaras at one time, she probably would, because he's getting everything. So this is where we'll get the big jewels. They'll process in as the national anthem is played, and then King Charles and Donald Trump will both do set piece speeches. So this is where, as Adam was saying, this is, the government wants to reflect the special relationship. This is the first indication we'll get from Donald Trump of how he sees that special relationship. He'll want to flap to King Charles. He'll want to talk about his relations with the royal family. But this is also the moment where he says out loud what this state visit means for America. So that may well have a political implication too.
And what will Melania be doing while that happens, when Donald Trump and Keir Starmer are having their checkers meeting?
Yeah, so Donald Trump, on the morning of Thursday, there'll be the official photo call, the kind of official farewell, where the King and Queen will say goodbye to Donald and Melania. And then Camilla says hello to her almost immediately, because Donald goes off to checkers. And Queen Camilla is going to show the First Lady Queen Mary's doll's house, which is that spectacular. I mean, it's huge. If you've ever seen it, it's absolutely massive. It's not like a little doll's house you would have had in your bedroom. It's an actual fully functioning miniature house. So it's a pretty intricate work of art. So Melania will be given a guided tour of that. And then she hops outside and she'll be hoping the weather stays good for her, because the Princess of Wales will be taking her off to Frogmore Gardens to meet the Chief Scout and members of the Squibbles programme, the little tiddlies that are part of the Scouts as well. And they'll be learning about nature and trying to get a Go Wild badge. So by the time Melania hops in the car to go to Chequers to meet her husband again, she may well own a Go Wild badge if she does everything correctly.
Okay, something for her to bring back when they hop on the plane and yes, head away after this short visit. Lydia, thank you so much. Lydia Starbuck there, who's Associate Editor with Royal Central. Coming up on the programme, vet Niamh Fagan is going to be here to answer all of your pet questions. Still time to get them in, 51551 or WhatsApp us 0870 32 32 32. Next up though, do electric vehicles make people more car sick? We're going to find out.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.